The 10th parak of Shviyas, the final parak of Shviyas, as we've seen over the last couple weeks, is dedicated to the non-agricultural part of Shemitah, to Shemitah's Ksafim. The middle Mishnayis, the center of the parak, is dedicated to the Din D'Rabbanan that appears very briefly here in Mishnayis Gittin, from Mishnayis Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, and Zayin, the five central Mishnayis in parak Yud Shviyas. Just elaborate on the topic of Prusbul, that Takana of Hillel, which appeared incredibly briefly here in Gittin and the Mishnah Daf Lama Dalam and Beis. So that's the center of Perek Yud Shviyas. The beginning and the end are about the core of Shemitzas Ksafim, about the actual din of Shemitzas Ksafim. The opening two Mishnayos are about which Chovos are Shemitah susceptible and which Chovos are Shemitah proof. And then the last two Mishnayos, part of which are quoted here on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis in Maseches Gittin, the last two Mishnayos talk about the actual process of Shemitzas Ksafim. If you want to be technical, you can start from the last two words on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Alf, Tanan Hasam. The Gemara starts a new Shak Vatarya based on a Mishnah elsewhere, which this Sugya has been full of. So now, Hassam, top of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Hamachas Yechov L'Chaver B'Shviyas, Mishnah Shviyas, Perek Yud, Mishnah Ches, a fellow returns a chov, this Shviyas, under the aegis, under the regime of Shviyas, Rashi says. Shviyas is in effect. We didn't deal with this so much, but the vast majority of Rishonim assume, based on Gemara's elsewhere, that the Shemitah's Ksafim happens entirely at the last moments of Shemitah, which is why there was a flurry of Prusbuling activity last week, and maybe even this past Sunday, Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh is of the opinion that some of Shemitah's Ksafim happened over the course of the Shemitah year, but everyone agrees that most, if not all, of the Shemitah's Ksafim activity is in the last moment. I think we saw Rambam to that extent earlier in this month. So, Amach Zechov L'Chadei B'Shviyas, I borrowed money from you, and I come back to you, and I want to return the loan. I want to pay back, but it's already been nishmat. It's already gone through Erev Rosh Hashanah of Shviyas, and now, today, on Dalet Tishrei, Tavshin Pei Gimel, I come and I say, I owe you money. Here's the $20. Here's the $2,000. Here's the $2 million. Whatever the scale is, I want to return a loan. This mission is relevant now. You'll notice that the word bishvias is a little bit funny. That's why Rashi explains it's when shvias applies. Okay. Samach sechov l'chaver bishvias. I come to you and say, here's the $20 that I borrowed from you. So how do you react? The mission says, Sarach shiomer lo mishamani. You have to respond, no, I'm mishamit. I'm mishamit. Shemitah's Ksafim. I'm not taking your money. But if I, the Lova, insist, nevertheless, Afal Pichin is a very important place in modern Jewish history. Anyone know? There's a very large artifact, I believe it's in the city of Haifa, named the Afal Pichin, if I remember correctly. But nevertheless, there was a boat named during the period of the British occupation of Eretz Yisrael, during the British Mandate, towards the end, when the British were being particularly tough on the Jews who were trying to escape World War II, escape the Holocaust, escape the Germans, and make their way into Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember if the Afal Pichin was active primarily during World War II or during the last few years of the British Mandate, right after World War II. But that was one of the boats that the British, they were first trying to get in under some other flag, and then the British realized what was going on, and then they lowered, maybe it was a Cypriot flag, I forget the flag of some other country they were flying, they lowered that, once the British realized who they were anyways, they lowered that flag and they proudly raised the Israeli flag, and that boat, I believe that then there's a whole story, the British tried to get them, ultimately Atlit and so on and so forth. The Afal Pichin, the nevertheless, because they were going to, the British weren't letting, We're going to make it into Eretz Yisrael. So here's an earlier use of the same term. I say to you, here's your money. You say, Meshamedani. I'm Meshameta. Shemitah Ksafim. Shamot Kobal Mashayado. So we could end there. But Im Amar Lo Afal Pichen, if I say to you, nevertheless, I want to take the money anyways, you're not letting me give you the money. This is a much, much, much Lahavdil. Much more friendly type of Afal Pichen than in the 1940s in the Mediterranean. The fellow says, no, I still want to give you the money. So then you kabel emeno. So then you're allowed to take it. Shene emar v'zeh devar hashmita. This is the halacha. This is the topic of shmita. How do you see anything from v'zeh devar hashmita? So Rashi explains, tzarech lomar dibur shel shmita. This is one of the places, there are several where Chazal darshan the word davar as milashan dibur. Davar can mean a topic, or it could mean speech. There are a few times where the pasuk will say zed devar shmita, zed devar arotzeach. There are several other examples where it sounds like the Torah is saying this is the topic of whatever it is. For instance, here the zed devar shmita shamor kabal mashayado. But Chazal were bothered. Why the Torah? It's redundant. It's superfluous. Just get right down to the din. You don't have to give me a title. Every word in the Torah is profoundly significant. So what's being added by zed devar shmita? So Chazal Darshan, it means that there's a chiyuv dibur. I have to say something. I need to say mishameitani. But once I've said mishameitani, if you insist, nevertheless, you want to pay me, at that point I'm allowed to take it. One could have imagined, no. One could have imagined, Shemitah's ksafen, no matter how many times you try to give him the money, I have to continually and continuously push back. You have that elsewhere in halacha. Sometimes we say, afilu me. Hashef teshivim, afilu mei pa'amim, nasan titan, afilu mei pa'amim, after do a Shabbos Aveda repeatedly, after Tzedakah repeatedly, could imagine after do a Shemitah Tzedakah repeatedly. Hamash malan the pasuk, no, v'zeh devar ha-shmita. You gotta do a dibur. So that's the Mishnah. Now let's take a look at a comment of the Mordechai. The Mordechai is all the way in the back of the Gemara. You found it in Seder. In most, if not all, of your Gemaras, it's the second to, well, unless you have a, if you have a relatively traditional type of Gemara, it'll be near the very, very end, after the Rif and the Ran, before the Tosefta. The pagination, the Rif starts again from Aleph, a new pagination, and then the Mordechai also, at least in my Gemara, the Mordechai again starts a new pagination. Looking for the Mordechai in our sugya, Shin Pei. In my edition, it's Gimel Amud Dalad. Daf Gimel Amud. If you're wondering how a page has four sides, it doesn't. But Amud doesn't really mean a side. Amud really means a column. So in the Daf of Gemara, there's only one column of Gemara in every side of the page. So it's nice. Amud isn't a side of the page. Amud is a column. In Rif and Mordechai, you have two columns per side of the page. So you can have Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, Dav Gimel Amud Beis, Dav Gimel Amud Gimel, and Dav Gimel Amud Dalet. So here we are, Dav Gimel Amud Dalet. Near the bottom of the Amud, Simen Shin Pei. As we about to dive in, just a word about who he was. I don't know if we got biographical last week. The Rush and the Mordechai and the Haggos Maimini all lived in the 1300s. At the very, very end of the period of the Bali Atosis. The period of the Bali Atosis had started in Ashkenaz in France and in Germany around 1100. Rashi passes away in 1105. And the period of the Bali Atosis really begun by one of his grandchildren, Inotam. And it was very, very fruitful. Rabbi Inotam's Talmidim, particularly the Re, started a whole series of yeshivas where they were using Rabbeinu Tam as Derech HaLiman and then growing and building on his Torah for around two centuries or so. At the very end of the period of Bali Tosis is Maram of Wurttemberg. It was a great, great posuk of many, probably over 1,000 shiles and shuvas from Maram of Wurttemberg. And the famous story of the Maram of Wurttemberg is that he was the one who insisted that his Baal Batim follow a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. He was taken captive by the local counter duke, and held for ransom. The fellow was, he needed money, So you figure an easy with this aristocrat figure, an easy way to get money is to squeeze the Jews, based on this false assumption that the Jews have pots of money in hiding. So he figured, how am I going to get their money? The money that they didn't have, how am I going to get their money? So he figured they all love their rabbi, so I'll snag their rabbi and I'll squeeze them for a lot of money. And he was asking for an exorbitant amount of money. And Maran Wurttemberg insisted that we hear in the fourth and fifth Prakram of Gittin about all these Mishnayas, Takanas and Etikin Olam, one of which is Prusbul. There are many of them. Another one is Ein Podim Esav. Yeah, you're not allowed to be paid a yeshavui. Yes, al kadei damav. You can't pay more than quote unquote market price for to ransom a Jewish captive. I'm not sure exactly how you figure out what's a typical amount. Baruch Hashem, this reality is very foreign to us. Piracy is no longer a popular crime, but once it was, and once piracy was a common issue, as recently as the beginning of the United States of America, piracy was still a common issue. As recorded in the anthem of the United States Marines, Ayin Sham. And the Mishnah says if pirates realize you can ask any amount of money of a Jewish community and they'll always give it, so you save this Shavui, but you put all Jews at greater danger. Every Jew has a mark on his back. If the pirates know that a Jewish captive will always bring in way more money, unlimited amounts of money. So the Mishnah says, Ein podin sashavui, yesal kadei damav. It's a very difficult din to apply, obviously in the moment, when you're actually dealing with the real situation. Here's a Jew who's in captive, and Jewish hearts are full of rachmanas. Poskim discuss at length how much does that actually apply, when does it apply, not for now, but the Maram of Rutenberg insisted that his Baal Batim, they were ready for the Gadol Hadar of Ashkenaz. They were ready to start collecting far and wide. And he insisted, absolutely you're not going to pay more than whatever, quote-unquote, market price, whatever the going rate was, whatever Pyrrhus asked for other captives. Otherwise, every Jew, and particularly every Rav, is a marked man. And he insisted, and his Baal Batim listened, and he lived the rest of his life in Migdal Eisenheim, in the tower in Eisenheim, the prison tower in Eisenheim. And it's a remarkable thing with the perspective, you know, things often look different in hindsight, particularly if you have a couple of centuries of hindsight. No one knows or cares about that by now anonymous, largely anonymous aristocrat. You can look in the history books, you can find his name, but that essentially anonymous aristocrat who thought that he was in charge and was holding Maram Wurttemberg captive. No one knows, no one cares, except for a handful of historians of the 14th century Germany. Our lives, the lives of hundreds of thousands, millions of Jews over the last number of centuries, have been shaped by tshuvas written by the Maram Wurttemberg, including a slew of tshuvas that in the byline at the top, they give the date and the location. Location is Migdal Eisenheim. He was busy writing tshuvas, handling the shilas of Ashkenazic Jewry for years, for the last number of years of his life, corresponding from the prison. At the time, it seemed like the local count, the local duke, he was in charge, and Maram was the Yado HaTachtona. But with the passage of time, things become clear. Maram was Yado HaYono. Maram dies in prison. And the nobleman insisted he wanted his, he felt gypped. So he refused to allow the Jews to retrieve his body for burial until they would pay. And ultimately, there was a gevir who decided to, the way the story is told, to ignore the Maram's instructions, and he footed the bill, and they eventually retrieved the Maram's remains and they buried him. Around that time, I mentioned before, Maram had three major Talmidim: the Rush, the Mordechai, and the Agos Maimoni. The Rush escaped. The Rush fled Germany for Spain. And I think it was the 1320s. Different historians have different interpretations of why. Some think it was he figured that he was next. The guy wants his cash. So if Maram is no longer useful, he'll go for his prime Talmud, the Rush. Some historians reject that. It could be that Rush left while the Maram was still alive. But for whatever reason, the Rush flees. He flees Germany, and he flees to Spain. Some other time we'll talk about that, the episodes related to that. Part of it is very Shemitah relevant because there are a number of tshuvas of the Rosh that he writes after he arrives in Spain, where he's dealing with an Ashkenazi Talmud Chacham for the first time coming face to face with Sfardi Psak Halacha and Sfardi Minhagen. And sometimes he says, wow, this makes so much more sense than what we do. Ataka, I know, you know. This fits, the Sephardi practice fits the Gemara much better than the Ashkenazi practice does. And sometimes he shows up and says, I don't know what's going on here. This is Connecticut Adin. And he tries to handle with his Baal Batim. So this is one of the discussions of whether Shemitah's Ksafim applies with Zman Hazeh or not. Part of that conversation is a Truas Harash, written after he came to Spain. And he's trying to figure out that Jews here keep Shemitah's Ksafim. Jews here seem to be ignoring Shemitah's Ksafim entirely. What do you do? How do you don a case? A fellow comes, and we'll be coming back to that in a couple of minutes. So here we have the Rush. The Rush is safer, you've seen probably much more often than the Mordechai, in part because the Rush successfully fled Germany before the rise of the Rheinfleisch massacre. The Mordechai stayed in Germany and was killed as a young, relatively young man in those pogroms. So historians point out, Chaim Soloveitchik and others, the Rush had the chance to really edit his Sefer over the course of years and decades. The Mordechai perished, Rachman Litzlan, at a young age. The amount that he had produced by that age is extraordinary. He had not had the chance to edit as much, and that's perhaps part of the reason why it's not as heavily used. But let's take a look. And he also has a different style. The Rush is quite much more of a French Tosfos style of Kashas and Terutzim. The Mordechai's focus is much more of a German style of quoting material and quoting Piskei Halacha and quoting a Psak from this one, a Psak from that one, and the Shaila came up here. And that's exactly where we're at right now. Here we are, Gimel Amid Dalet at the bottom, Simen Shin Pei. Should be a big, bold Shin Pei. And Shol Rabbeinu Chizkiel Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. Two more obscure Ashkenazi Rishonim, two more obscure Bali Atosos. Rabbeinu Chizkiel asked the Shaila of Rabbi Avigdor HaKohen. Libi Nokfi, he says, I'm troubled. I'm not sure I did the right thing. Why? There was a shayla that came my way, a case where the malva had been trying to collect a debt from the lova for 7 years. The atatovo, and now once again he brings him to Beis Din. So the lova says, aha, I got you to wait, so I strung you out so long that we finally crossed the Rubicon. We crossed the line of Shemitah. We went through an era of Rosh Hashanah, Chavtes El of Shemitah, and now I'm scot-free, because now Shemitah's Ksafim. I don't owe you money anymore. So that was the case that came to Rabbeinu Chizkiya. Who may shiv kikvah shvitesh mitatu? Ve'emes shahari posek. And here's a key line, a loaded line, I should say. Ve'emes shahari posek shashmita b'znoheges b'zman hazeh. It's true that the re-paskins that shmita applies b'zman hazeh. What does that mean? And we haven't explored this so much. I'll just touch in outside for a moment. There are, we saw the Gemara has a discussion whether Shemitah b'zman hazeh is daraisa or drabana. There is a third opinion, which is that Shemitah does not apply b'zman hazeh at all. And for two different sets of reasons, the Baal HaMa'or and the Ravid sometimes also suggest that maybe even Shemitah d'Rabbanan ceased with the end of an organized Beis Din. One possibility. So maybe b'zman hazeh there's no Shemitah whatsoever. It's a question of timing. Another approach, as appears in the Ashkenazi approach, to why one might say there's no Shemitah b'zman hazeh, the Trumas Hadeshen writes that the whole Shemitah d'Rabbanan is only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. So maybe either a question of we're in the wrong century to have Shemitah, or on the wrong continent to have Shemitah. whatever it is, there certainly was an opinion out there that there's no Shemitah at all. That's why I mentioned you a few minutes ago. The Rush comes to Spain and he discovers that people are just ignoring Shemitah Sefer entirely. And that's why he's one of the truth. The Rush is one of part of the literature on this topic. Is there a basis? Is there a basis that you can just ignore Shemitah or not? And that's what Rabbeinu Chizkiya is saying. It's true that we posit that the Re holds, it's the standard Ashkenazi Pesach and Bizmanazah, the Sephardi Pesach as well, that Shemitah does apply Bizmanazah. Okay, so what's the Shaila? Of course, he's right. So a little bit underhanded, it wasn't so nice, but he is right. Shemitah is Ksafim. He says, no. Why might the Malva be able to recover his money against the wishes of the Lova? We saw the Mishnah says that the Lova can voluntarily say, I'd like to pay you anyways. And by the way, the part of the Mishnah that wasn't quoted in the Gemara, but later in the Mishnah, the next Mishnah, the Mishnah says that that's ideal. Ruach HaChamim Nochemim. The right thing to do, you're not mechuyev to pay back after Shemitah Ksafim, but the right thing to do is to offer him that gift. The right thing to do is to say, Af Al Pichin. But okay, here's a Lova who doesn't want to, he's not, this fellow's not going from Sim Ashur Adin. So by rights, Meikar Adin is Imuchayev to pay. Look, the Re says that Shemitah applies Bizman Azeh. We assume that Shemitah does apply Bizman Azeh, albeit Midrabanon. Ach Bishas, why might the Malva, what case does the Malva have? Ah, Ach Bishana Shnasa Shemitah Lo Boy Love. Ooh, interesting question. Well, he says, it's true yet. I'm assuming that you heard Shofar earlier this week, right? You heard Shofar earlier this week? At least 200 calls? Go. Okay, this time everyone here, hopefully everyone was healthy. Everyone got to hear 200 kolos over the course of this past week, at least, maybe even more. The extra kolos after davening, shut up. Let's say you didn't. Let's say you didn't. You were supposed to make a connecting flight back in Bay. You have a flight back for you in Eretz Yisrael for a simcha. You're in Argentina for a simcha. You're in Brazil for a simcha. And you're trying to get back to the United States. And there was a storm, you had to deplane, you ended up in Haiti for Chveitz Rosh Hashanah, and there was no shofar in Haiti. You looked around, okay, there's no Chabad, there's no shofar, so you didn't choose to be here, Onus Rachamana Patre, maybe next time you won't fly in an Erev Yontif, but okay, this is what happened, Lamaisa, you were stuck, you didn't hear shofar, so what happened is you didn't hear shofar, okay, see it. By no fault of your own, you missed out on the mitzvah of shofar. Do you have a mitzvah of shofar now? No. Rosh Hashanah came and went. I'm sorry you missed it. We feel bad that you missed the mitzvah of shofar. Better luck next year. But there's no mitzvah of shofar now. There's no tashlumin for shofar. This isn't Shmona Esrei. If somehow you end up, you know, we're busy figuring out this year, are we going to have the Otzer Beis Din Shemitah Esrig, or are you going to have the Chutzlaretz Esrig? Everyone's going to have an Esrig or two or five. You go back, you listen to you read these old Chassidish Shemaisim from 200 years ago. You know, sometimes in Brad Ditchev they had two Esrogim, sometimes they had one, and sometimes they had zero. It wasn't so simple to get an Esrog in Lulav before modern refrigeration and transportation. So sometimes there was a Jewish community, they had no Lulav and Esrog. Okay, so the Olis Rachmana Patre, they tried all sorts of stories about the Hishtadlis that they did to get Dal Minim. Sometimes the Hishtadlis paid off, and sometimes despite their best efforts, they couldn't get Dal Minim. So they had no Dal Minim. They felt bad. They felt terrible. Lamaisa, they were not Makai in the Mitzvah. They had a Sukkah, and they said hello, and there was no Dal Minim. The next spring, you get your hands on Dal Minim. Is there a point to picking it up? Obviously not. The Zman HaMitzvah is gone. Right? This is Zman for the Mitzvah of Shofar. It's Rosh Hashanah. This is Zman for the Mitzvah of Lulav. Sukkot. Minatora day one. Midrabanan for 7 days. Shemitah came and went, he says. Isn't that fascinating? So the Chizkiya says, here's a Malva's Taina. You didn't come to me in Shemitah. We didn't talk over the course of Shnas HaShemitah. I was never Meshamet. I never said Meshamet Ani. So now it's Tav Shem Pei Gimel. Shnas HaShemitah is over. It's true, we never had a conversation.
I was never mishamik the chov.
So the chov is not mushmat. The chov is still extant. The chov still exists because, like the Jew who didn't have a shofar over Rosh Hashanah, like the Jew who didn't have luv and esrog over Sukkot, I did not have a conversation with you over the course of Shana Sashmita. I was never mishamik the chov. So shine, nisht. Take a look inside again. The Malva says, we didn't talk over the course of Tavshin Pei Beis. We didn't talk over the course of Shnas HaShmita. I didn't say the course of Shnas HaShmita, I'm Mishamit. Shmita's over now. Over HaShmita. Vishema, maybe. Kevin Sha'avra HaShmita, V'lo Mishamit Ani. Shmita came and went. Tavshin Pei Beis came and went. Obviously, this is 700 years ago. Whichever Shnas HaShmita exactly they were talking about. In the 1300s. Just like a Jew gets his hand on a shofar on Sukkot, you'll put it away in a safe place and keep it for next Rosh Hashanah. You have to use it now. Next Rosh Hashanah, it'll once again be the Zman HaMitzvah for shofar. So he says, Shnas HaShemitah came and went, and the loan is still here? Okay, so if I haven't succeeded in collecting from you over the next 7 years, so then, next Shemitah, Tavshin, Pei, Tes, Haba Aleinu L'Tova. Just think for a moment how old you'll be next Shemitah. Abar Benel, I mentioned in the shul, Abar Benel writes in Bihar that one of the purposes of Shnas HaShemitah, one of the purposes of the Mitzvah of Shemitah is to give Jews a longer-term perspective on time. Not just to think in terms of what are my goals, what are my visions for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year, but to think in terms of 7 years, to have a 7-year plan. And indeed, I don't know if he points this out, but the Mishnah in Sanhedrin does say that it worked. Mishnah in Sanhedrin, when it talks about Drisha v'chakir v'edim, the Edim, you ask the Edim to give the exact date of when whatever testimony they're giving, they saw a particular event occur, civil, criminal, whatever it is, you ask the Edim when exactly did it occur, what was the date? And the Mishnah says, we ask, what day, of what month, of what year, of which Shemitah cycle? Be'ezah Shavua. Shavua doesn't mean a week. Shavua means a Shemitah cycle. That's how they thought. This year wouldn't be Tavshin Pei Gimel. It would be year one of Shemitah cycle number, whatever Shemitah cycle we're up to. Fascinating. So that's in line with that of Abar Benel. So you can stop for a moment to think, how old will you be in Tavshin Pei Tes? Where will you be in Tavshin Pei Tes? What will you have accomplished? It's a good cheshbon nefesh over the next couple of days, from now until Hakel. And coming back to the Mordechai, so the Malva says, if you're such a deadbeat that you still haven't paid me the money, but Tavshin Pei Tes, okay, in Tavshin Pei Tes, I'll say Mishamet Ani, but I missed it. I didn't see you over the course of Tavshin Pei Beis. I wonder why. I didn't see you over the course of Tavshin Pei Beis. I was never Mishamet to you over the course of Tavshin Pei Beis. So it's like I went through Rosh Hashanah without a shofar. I went through Shnas HaShemitah without being Mishamet. I didn't see you. I wasn't Mishamet, says the Malva. So now it's too late. I'm Shem Mishamet now. And Tavshin Pei Gimel, what does that mean? It's not Shnas HaShemitah. That's like blowing shofar on the 4th of Tishrei. It's like shaking a lulav on Pesach. It's nothing. Not this man HaMitzvah. What do you say? That's the argument that the Malva made. In this case, Rabbeinu Chizki seems like was the dying on the case. And he writes to his, sounds like his Rebbe, Rabbeinu, or a senior Talmud Chacham, Rabbeinu Avigdor. Libi Nokvi, Nistapakti. Tom Taka, wondering about this. What should the din be? What do you say to that Svara? It's interesting Svara, no? It's too late. I missed the chance to be Mishah Meit Ksaf. What do you say, sister?
I don't know if this goes for this case, but like, let's say nowadays, if someone, like, in MTA gives, like, their friend $10 and then they don't pay back, it's probably not because they're being, like, malicious or avoiding them. They just probably forgot. So now you're going to go. So I feel like it would almost be rude to, on Shemitah, go and say, oh, by the way, that $10, I forgive you. Like, they totally forgot. And, like, now you're saying you didn't pay back. Like, it would almost be kindness, I feel like, to avoid them about that.
Okay, That's a good point. So you have to figure out how to finesse. Whatever the din is, you're gonna have to figure out how to implement it in a sensitive way, certainly. But think about the substance of it. And by the way, also one thing to think, what do you think about this svara, and how does it, how, what do you think about it in the context of the language of the Mishnah with which we opened? The opening phrase of the Mishnah. Shmuel.
I have a question, not
an answer. Okay, so let's come back to your question afterwards. Yeah?
It kind of has that figure in the Mishnah as a the first step or the step after the first step. So, like, if the Mishnah is saying, well, when your friend comes to try and pay you back, meaning nothing has happened yet, and now you have to say, I'm canceling the loan, which means now it's actually canceled, then he can still pay you back after. Or is it saying, the loan was canceled because of Shemitah. If he tries to pay you back, you have a requirement to tell him, well, I'm just letting you know as an informational.
Very good.
Shemitah has canceled your loan.
Very good. Is Meshameh Ani... Is Mishama any making something happen or just reporting what has happened? Sort of like Lakima Dover versus Labira Dover. Is this actually instrumental? Is it doing something? Or are you just, like you said, informational? Just letting you know what has already happened. Good, good. Yeah?
Yeah, and also the Bedvar HaShemitah, is that on the person giving back or is that on the person who's saying, okay, I'm canceled?
Oh, very good. Bedvar HaShemitah. Bedvar HaShemitah is mechayev you to say, okay, we're going to come to that in a moment. Very good. Some of you might also notice a single letter in the Mishnah, the Beis, right? Hamachzer Chov b'Shvius. Mentioned before, as we read in the Mishnah, b'Shvius is a little bit awkward. Rashi says, well, it's during a time in Jewish history when Shemitah applies. This child, this Malva seems to think, it means literally, it's something you have to do during Shemitah. He says, you're coming to me in Tavshin Pei Gimel. It's too late. That's like a shofar 2 days after Rosh Hashanah. I have to say Meshama Ani b'Shvius, literally during the Shemitah year. Yeah, Zev. Good. And that comes back to what Gavriel was saying before about instrumental versus informational. Is Meshama Ani doing something or just reporting what's already happened? Take a look inside. So Nachama says, Shema came in Shavar Shmita Lom Rishama and Yisu Lo Mechuyiv Lahashmi Hashmita Cheres. Malva says, look, Shmita went by. It's no longer Machzachov Bishvius. It's Machzachov La'achar Shvius. Presumably, he doesn't say the faith. Presumably, he's working partially off of that diuk in the language of the Mishnah. Shmita came and went. It's too late. To be Mishamid now is like a shofar today. It's pointless. I'm not even getting any mitzvah of Mishamid today. It's zero. So the loan is still here. Again, Shemitah Acheres. If we get to Tavshin Pei Tes, the next Shemitah year, and still you haven't paid back, then I'll be Meshameh. Ulefi ha'inyan nira, it sounds like this is still part of the language of the Rav who's being Shoel, Rabbeinu Chizkia. He says, but it seems to me, the Shvius afkaita demalkahu, afkav delor Meshameh. He says, the Malva made this claim, I was supposed to be Meshameh during Shemitah. I wasn't, so the loan was still extant. And then Chizkia says, but I don't think that's correct. I think that it's an afkaita de malka. Lahafkia is to remove, or to dissolve, to disintegrate. Who's canceling the loan? So he says, I think that the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is canceling the loan. I've got Lo Meshameni. That term is, I believe, based on a Gemara in Bav Metzia, which he's applying as well to Shemitah's Ksafim. So Ben Chizkiya says, I think it's an Afkaita Demalka. You don't have to have said Meshameni. The loan disappears on its own. And Vazu Heshiv, I believe this means that Rabbeinu Avigdor responds to Ben Chizkiya, yes. Lein Shemitah's Ksafim Kibalti Shashviz Meshametes Me'elah. You didn't say Meshameni. It works on its own. Afkaita demalkam. Ela mitzvah hu deram yalei ba'amira. Dichsiv v'zeh devar hashmita. So this is an interesting question. Right. So how do you wonder? This is what Dovi has drawn our attention to. Zed Devar HaShemitah. So what does it mean? So it could mean one of several things. It could mean Amal Vahu Hamashmit. It's even better. The Malva is the Mafkia. He's the one who's actually undoing the loan. And this is his mitzvah.
His mitzvah is that Zar Shmita. Even if the guy, not only do you not go after him and collect, but even if he wants to give you the money, you're mechuyev to misham, you're mechuyev to let it go.
Okay. Another way of saying it, in the Mordechai, this is what we would call, Afkaita de Malka. Excuse me, that's what we call Afkaita de Gavra. It's the person who would be Mafkia de Chol. Another possibility is a Chol Pramufka. But mitzvah, lahashvat.
You have a mitzvah still, even though the chov disappears on its own, you still have a mitzvah to verbally confirm what's already, anyways, fact. The chov is gone, but you have a mitzvah to verbally confirm it. Take a look. Let's see more of the couple more lines of the Mordechai. Lahashmit means to let go. Mitzvah derami alei b'amir. You have a mitzvah of speech. Dechsev v'zed devar hashmita. As I said, Chazal darshin means b'lashin dibur. We'll take quite more questions soon. Mikol makom in bolach as even what tzay shvi is. If the fellow comes after, now he's stressing. It's after shmita is over. Kolashin hamachzer chov v'shvi is the language of the Mishnah. Yomar lo mishamin ani. Avilim lo bolach zim what tzay shvi is. Let's say the fellow there, the loba never shows up. He knew that Shemitah came and went, so he didn't bother trying to pay you back. You don't have to do anything. Shamut va'omedu. The chov disappeared on its own. The Mishnah there goes on to give another example. We mentioned before, Zed devar harotzeach. What's Zed devar harotzeach? Rotzeach goes to Ari Miklat. Ratzu anchi ir l'chabdo. This fellow shows up in the Ir Miklat, he shows up in Chevron from wherever. The reason why he's here is because he was a Horig Nefesh Bishkaga. He accidentally murdered someone, accidentally killed someone. So people don't know why. There are other people who live in the town for other reasons. So this time they think there was a business opportunity, he had a job offer, and that's why he moved to the town. So they want to give him Maftiyayna. They want to give him Chasen Tera in Yana Diyoma. They want Ratsa Anshi Ir L'chabdom. They want to appoint him to the town council. So he has to say Rotzeach Ani. He has to say, no, you can't give me covet. I'm here as a Horig Nefesh Bishkaga. I'm here, I'm imprisoned in this town. I'm not deserving of respect. So, based on what? Zed Devar HaRotzeach. So he says, same thing. Lo Rami Ale Lomar King. You're not Mechiv Deor on advertising. I am a Rotzeach. And people want to Mechabit him. Then you have to, you have to refuse. If the guy wants to pay you back, you got to refuse. Mm-hmm. But here's the key line: Hadibur eino ma'akev hashmita. The dibur doesn't cause, lack of dibur won't hold back the shmita. And then he finally closes with a zecher l'davar. He says this isn't the only case where there's
a mitzvah of verbal confirmation of a pre-existing reality.
He says, by a bechor also. Most karbanos,
you make it kadosh. If there's an animal which is a karban, always because you said I raised that ola. If there's an animal which is a karban pesach, Mary Yvonne Beis HaMikdash, it's because you picked up, you went into your barn, or you went to the shepherd, you bought a young sheep, and you said, I raised
l'pischi. Usually you're makat, you're Makdish Karbanos. The one exception, when does an animal become Kaddish on its own? Bechor. Bechor is Bechor because it was born. It's no person has to do anything. And yet, there's a mitzvah, even though, as he says, it's Kaddish Meirechem, Nolad lo b'chor be'edro. I have a herd of sheep. And there was a female that had never given birth before, gives birth for the first time. And it's a viable, live, male baby. So, mitzvah l'akdisha off a pishar, kadosh me'elav mishas leida. The moment it's born, it becomes kadosh, it's kadosh me'rechem. And yet, I still have a mitzvah to say, harei zeh b'char. So, the Mordechai says, Abedu Avigdor, that's what's going on here. It's true that zeh devar shmita, there's a mitzvah to say something. There's a mitzvah to say something. But it doesn't mean that your speech is actually creating the facts. Doesn't mean your speech is instrumental. It is, maybe as Gabriel said, informational.
I have a mitzvah to convey that information. Or maybe you could say, it's a different twist, that the Zed Dvar Shmita is telling me, I would have thought that I can't go collect it, but the moment you offer it anyways, I could accept it right away. Come on, no, you have to actively reject it at least once. Okay, so that's this.
So what the Mordechai is presenting, though, is this fundamental question, whether Shemitah's Ksavim is something that I actually perform, or is it cancellation done by a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Am I the one who's... I have a mitzvah to cancel the loans of Kaita de Gavra, and if I didn't cancel it, it's not canceled? Or no, it gets canceled on its own. I have a mitzvah to go along to confirm and to act accordingly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cancels the loan, I have a mitzvah to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cancellation and not to seek to get it anyways. So in thinking about Afkaita de Gavra versus Afkaita de Malka, so let's bring that over here. One case we can think about is Lo Amar Amalve Meshamei. That was the Shaila that Rabbeinu Chizkiya and Rabbeinu Avigdor are dealing with. The Malva never said I'm Meshamei. Is the Chov gone anyways? Or not? So if you were to say a Shmita is Afkaita de Gavra, then you would say he's still Chayim. If you say Shmita is Afkaita de Malka, I'll pay Dalmem, then there's nothing left. There's nothing left. What does the Rambam think about this? Take a look at Halacha Dalet in your packet. He's busy telling us that the timing of Shmita's Ksafim, Paraktes Halacha Dalet, that Shmita's Ksafim happens at the very end of the year. So there's a very dramatic line, the very end of Halacha Dalet over here. Kishatishka chama belele Rosh Hashan Shamosai Shvis, when the sun set this past Sunday evening, when the sun set, as Rosh Hashanah of the year following Shemitah was coming in, Avad HaChov, the Chov is lost. Very clear that the Rambam thinks Afkaita de Malka. So we have on the Afkaita de Malka side, we have Abinu Chizkiya, Abinu Avigdor, and the Rambam. Okay, now, another way of thinking about this another twist on this is there an actual chiyuv to say Meshamanani? Do I have to say it? So it sounds like if you have said Afkaita de Gavra, you actually have a mitzvah to say it. It's like blowing shofar. I have a mitzvah to go be Meshamet the Chov. And I miss the time. If you say Afkaita de Malka, there is no chiyuv. The Mordechai was very clear. If it comes up, so then you'll say it. And another question is, when is the Zman HaMitzvah? If you think it's Afkaita de Gavra, it could be the Zman HaMitzvah is Bishan HaShvius, during the Shemitah year. But if otherwise, it's really happening L'Achar HaShvius, Motzoi HaShvius.
Let me ask you the following question. Let's say I borrowed money. I lent you money. And I came to you today. I lent you money a year ago. The money was due a month ago. I came to you today. And I said, Eitan. Not clear who I'm talking to. Eitan. I lent you $100. You were supposed to pay me last week. Where is it? Like, maybe you mentioned Shemitah's Kesafim. I said, don't give me your Shemitah's Kesafim. I lent you $100. I expect $100 back. I gotta go buy. Love and Mastrog are very expensive this year. Supply chain, inflation, Shemitah. Mastrog are expensive this year. I need money. So I hack you and I annoy you and finally give me the $100 and I take the $100 and I go buy an Esrog. Mahadin. What would you say? What's the issue? Mitzvah Bava Veer. Okay. Even more. The Esrog has to be Shalachem. I have to own the Esrog. If I don't own the Esrog, I'm not, and the first day of Sukkot, the first 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, I'm not Yotze. Whose money was that? Right. I made Eitan the Lover. Or if I didn't. I could. Eitan the Lover paid me back, and I took it. What's the issue? Who owns that money? Okay, he paid me back in Esrogim. I said, Eitan, you owe me $100. He's like, I don't have cash, but I'm an Esrog dealer, so let me give you, I owe you $100, I'll give you two Esrogim, each one's worth $50 market value. Sure. So I take the two Esrogim as payment for the loan. Who owns it? But take a look at the Minchas Chinuch in your packet. Take a look at the Minchas Chinuch. Here, mitzvah tough ayin zayin, parshas re'eh. The mitzvah shmitzas ksafin. Page reish me'amalf over here at the arrow. Upashut atoveya chov lacha shmitzah v'govo so. If I, minchas thinks it's obvious, if I go over to you and I collect the loan after shmitzah is already passed, chutz masha over halavin vasei shal shviyas, I violate the mitzvahs also say of shmitzah, shamot kabal meyashay ado, lo yigo says re'eyu. Aside from that, says the minchas chinuch, over halav de gezel, I am stealing. Why? Ki hu afkaita de malka. Because Shemitah is tough from his Afkaita Malka. God canceled the loan this past Sunday evening. If I come to you and make you pay me anyways, it wasn't a gift. It wasn't that you were saying, Alpha Pichin, I'd like to give you a gift. No, you were paying me because I was collecting a loan. It's Gezel. It's not mine. I'm holding on to funds that are really yours. Hachov Nechalat. Because the Chov, Afkaita Malka, the Chov was dissolved, a magia lo klum. You don't owe me anything. V'tzarech lahachazir lo hamos, he says, based in wood, you could, Eitan, the love, who I pressured to pay me back, could seek recourse from Bezdin. And Minchas Chinuch says, Bezdin will make me return the money. It does not belong to me. And then he piles it on even more heavily. The govim in achasav v'afa im achakach meis govim e'ayorshin kedin kol gezel. If the malve, we'll depersonalize this. If the malve, who had been pressuring Eitan to pay back the loan, the malve succeeds in getting Eitan to pay, and then the malve, and then now Eitan's trying to retrieve the money. He says, "Hey, shmitas ksafin." Malve says, "Nah, it's mine." And then the Malva passes away. The Malva's gone. Okay, he did the wrong thing. He's gone. The Minchas says no. The Eitan the Lover can go to the Malva's Yorshim and sue them. Why? Well, if Reuven steals from Shimon and then Reuven dies, if Reuven steals a car from Shimon, then Reuven passes away, Shimon could go to Reuven's Yarshim and say, that's our car, give it back, it's not yours. It may be parked in your driveway, but it's not yours. It wasn't your father's. He didn't bequeath it to you. He would hold you on to our goods. Those are our assets that he stole. Give it back. So the Minchas Chinuch says, if Reuven collected a loan from Shimon, a loan that had already gone through Shmita's Kofim, Reuven is a Gazlan. Whatever funds Reuven got, or goods, as the case may be, cash, a srogim, whatever, artwork, whatever Shimon handed over to Reuven as payment for the loan, does not belong to Reuven. It belongs to Shimon. Wow. It belongs to Shimon. And Shimon can get back from Reuven. Shimon can get back from Reuven's Yorshim, because it's Gezel. So that's Nafkamina. Excuse me. Nafkamina number 4. Is Ovar Vegava. If the Malva violated the din, and he did collect the loan. I wish I could move this shtender out of the way. Ovar Vegava, he did collect the loan. So if you hold off Kaita to God, Malka, it's Gezel. It's Gezel. You're not Yotze with that Esrig, it's not yours. Based in Motzin, the days you can get the money back. Af min hayoshim. That's in Minchas Chinuch, and Oz Dalet. And Minchas Chinuch has more to say about this also. Minchas Chinuch raises another interesting question. He says, let's say, I'm not the lender. Let's say you have a precocious 11-year-old. Who's running his own business. He's selling Amazon. He has some sort of coding startup. He hasn't yet unloaded it to some big tech company for a couple billion bucks. But he's making money. He has his own app. He has his own website. Or whatever. Or he's mowing the lawn. He's selling lemonade. Whatever he's doing. Here you have an 11-year-old who has some cash. His next-door neighbor needed some money and said to the 11-year-old, could I borrow $20? I'll pay it back next week. So the kid said, sure, no problem. Here's $20, pay it back next week. That was 2 months ago. They all forgot about it. And now, after Rosh Hashanah, all the prusbling, a few days later, The next-door neighbor says, Gavald, I borrowed money from that 11-year-old. I borrowed 20 bucks from the 11-year-old. I have to pay him back. I owe him $20. Now what? What's the shaila? What would you say? An 11-year-old lent $20. Is there shmita k'safim or not? What's the issue? I think in the framework that we're developing here. Right. Number one, the Cheshot V'Katan Shehilva, he might not have the power to cancel. Okay, interesting question. He certainly, one could make the argument that maybe he has no Chiyuv to cancel. Does he have a Chinuch by a Katan? Let's say a Cheresh Roshota, how he has money is a good question. The Cheshot V'Katan lent money, do they have a Chiyuv Shmitz's Ksafu? Well, maybe not. And therefore, if you say it's Afkaita de Gavra, so then the argument can be made that what? Talk it out. Right? So, Cherishot of a Katan Shehilvu, Ches Shilvav, Cherishot of a Katan Shehilvu, who lent money. So, if you say Afkaita de Gavra, maybe there's the Chom is still, you have to pay back the money. He's not being Mishamim. He's not Machriti Mishamim. But if you say Afkaita de Malka, so the loan is gone because God canceled the loan. It's not your chiyuv to cancel the loan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cancels it. That's once again the Minchas Chinuch. Now earlier in Os Beis, paragraph Beis on the previous page. In Yesh L'Cher Shot V'Katan Mos, they made money. Either the guy had to get the money, they inherited it, or they worked for it, and they lent it to someone else, the Shemitah goes by. Afal pi sheim b'nei mitzvos, they are not mechuyvim mitzvos, mikol makom nechar hachov, ki hu afkaita demalka. One afkamina after the other. Two more. Question.
How do we know that the Shita of the Gavra would disagree in the case of our Gavra? If the Gavra does cancel it, then...
No, if he cancels it, Avar Gavra means I didn't cancel the Chov, instead I went ahead and...
Same Nafkamina as the first Nafkamina, it's just a ramification of the...
Correct. Well, Hamos Shal HaMalva. Where he would say, no, Hamos is Shal HaLova. Krishna, but who owns the money? It's not just a question of L'chatfila, it's also a question of Yevet. Yotze with that Esrei. I go to a jeweler, I lend money to a jeweler, and Shemitah came and went, and I make him pay me. So he pays me with rings. I take one of those rings, and I go to a girl and say, Rebbe Kudeshli B'tabazu. Are we married or not married?
Who's the other guy?
Well, he had no das kiddushin, but is the ring mine under the chuppah? Which the Basara Kiddushin will ask you. Right. Who owns this? There's different rabbanim, different ways of saying it. Sometimes they lead you on, like, is this ring yours? So then you know to say yes. But sometimes rabbanim, well, sort of sense of humor, say, well, who owns the ring? Sometimes the chassan like, if you ever say, do you own the ring? It's like, oh yeah. How do you know? Because did you buy it? You pay with your own money? Yes. So let's say you took stolen money to buy a ring, or you actually stole a ring. Then the girl's not in the credentials. So we think of stealing as, you know, the guy, the burglar, who's breaking into the jewelry store in the middle of the night. But the Minchas Chinuch thinks that another version of a gazlan is a guy who collects a chov that went through Shemitah because of Afkaita de Malka. Mm-hmm. I should tell you, because this is another Rishon, and it appears in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramban here, and you'll find the Ramban in this packet. We got pretty deep into the story here. Let's back up a little bit. As Gabriel pointed out, this is really like the Bidyevit. You were ready. Shemitah came and went, and you were ready. The Malva already violated the din, and he collected the money. Everyone agrees, can I get a din? But is it Gezorah? Let's back up a little bit. Shemitah came and went, and I'm still holding on to a shtar that says that you owe me money. So the Sefer HaTrumos, who is a Sephardi Rishon, Shmuel HaSardi, he was a student, he was part of the Beis Medrash of the Ramban. He may have been a contemporary of the Rashba, lived a little bit later. So he wrote a Sefer on Dine Mamanus. So Shar Menhei in the Sefer Trumas is about Shemitah's Tzav. There's a lot to say. Very, very fascinating. Very, very elegant presentation. Very, very thorough presentation. Yesh Lele Barer in Nachof HaMalve Lahach Nishtov Sharchov Lelove. Shemitah has come and gone, and I had lent money to Dovi, and it's also not clear which Dovi we're talking about. I lent money to Natan. Okay. Some Natan or another. I lent money to Natan, and there are at least six people in this room who have Tan. At least, maybe more. So Tanchum lent money to Natan, and now Tanchum is holding on to Shtar Chov that says Natan owes Tanchum $1,000. So Shemitah came and went. The loan was due last week. You know, you didn't pay back. And then when the Rosh Hashanah Motzai Shvius entered, Shvius itself and kicked it. Now I'm holding a star that says, Natan Olos Tanchum, what do we say? How much? $1,000. Does he, ought I to still be holding on to that star? Not. So the Sefer Trumas wants to know, before you're, before the Avar Vagava, earlier on, right after Rosh Hashanah, can Natan come to Beis Din and say, you know, let's say he would have paid back the loan last week. What happens when you pay back a loan? Right, you get back the shtar. If you pay, you give me the $1,000 and I'm supposed to hand you back the shtar, then you probably tear it up, burn it, frame it, whatever I do, make sure I don't get it again. Because if I get it again, you know, I might improperly, illegally try to collect money a second time. So normally, when the loan is satisfied, the love gets the shtar. How about when the loan wasn't paid up, but the loan went through Shmita's Ksafim? So that's what the Sefer Trumas wants to know. He didn't pay me, but instead he Shmita'd me. I got Shmita'd. If I got Shmita'd, what happens to the shtar? So he quotes from the Ramban. Whenever the chiyuv is gone, the paper itself becomes property of the borrower, and we force that lender to hand it over. And he says, that's what I would have thought, says the Sefer HaTrumas. It says, Ramban agreed. I asked the Ramban, Chen hiski mimi bezer Ramban. V'chein heishavli. Apparently he had sent a letter, the Sefer HaTrumas, Rishmul HaSardi has sent a letter to Ramban, because he says, Ramban responded to me, heishavli. Shviyas mishametas as hamal as hamilve, umafkas kshibuda lagamri. V'lo misham mitzvah shel zeh bilvad. He's very, very clear, the Ramban. It's not just that you have a, that I have a mitzvah to let go of the loan. The malva doesn't want to follow it. I don't want a mitzvah. I don't want a mitzvah. I want $1,000. Rachman Litzlan. Everyone's like that sometimes. Schar mitzvah, can negative say that? Do you realize how much schar you get in Shamayim for doing a mitzvah? $1,000, that's like monopoly money. But people do it all the time. The guy says, I don't want the mitzvah, I want the $1,000. So the malva says, I don't want to. Halo ve'pater. The lova still shakvar nifka shiyabudo legamri. The Ramban is giving an incredibly clear formulation of which shita? Afkaita de malka, right? It could not have been clearer. Right? The Ramban, we can add the Ramban to this list. Very, very clear. And he even gives this added nafkamina of and if you're keeping track, that's a nafkamina that appears in Shulchan Aruch. Simen Samach Zayin is the simen about Shmita Tzafim in Se'if Lamed Zayin. That you have to actually give the shtar back. Let's take one or two questions and then a final nafkamina that will bring everything home. Yeah. It's an interesting question. That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. No, but shtar does not necessarily have to have a due date. Although usually it will. Usually it will. Well, we're going to get back to that moment because we're going to get back to that moment. Got to take a look in Shulchan Aruch. If it does have the due date clearly, is there an issue? Are you worried he's somehow gonna play games? I'm not sure. Got to take a look in Simon Siflon's eyes. That's a very good point. I'm not sure what the answer is. But you raised Nafkini number 7. Let me ask you a Shaila. Let me ask you a shayla. So we see what would you say if we're not sure whether Shmita's Ksafim applies or not? Let's actually work off of the scenario that you were painting. I have a shtar, and it's not clear
whether the chov, from reading the shtar, it's not clear when the chov was made, or more to the point, it's not clear when the chov was due. We'll come back to that in a moment, even more fundamentally. It's not clear whether this is a shmitas ksafim, whether this is a shmitas ksafim, shmita susceptible chov, or shmita proof chov. He started by this year by mentioning the mishnayos in the first two mishnayos in the last parak of Shvi'ah tell us that there are certain chovos that are shmita proof. For instance, if there was a mashkon and you lent money, then you took collateral, so then a chov with a mashkon is shmita proof. So let's say it's not clear whether there was a mashkon or not. But for some other reason, it's not clear. Suffix shmitas ksafim. What's the din? You have a suffix shmitas ksafim. What would you say? I lent you money. We all agree I lent you money. And we all agree that the shmita year has come and gone. But the question is, did that matter or not? Do I still owe you the money? Or did shmita cancel? And it's not clear. So what would you say? What's your initial reaction? It's not sure clear whether shmita cancel or not. Oh, you say Hananel, fresh voice?
Maybe I would have him, when he called it, declare that he himself is canceling the loan currently, and then have, like, based and forced the other ones to pay back.
What'd you say?
Like, to have him state that he's canceling the curtain, whether or not.
Ah, so Hananel makes a good point. If the Malva says, it's fine, I'm okay, I'm a shame. Okay, if the Malva chooses to let go, gesunte, but if the Malva says, if the money is mine, I want it. It's $1,000. So look, if I'm not allowed to collect, I'm a law-abiding citizen, I'm a medaktik ba'alacha, if the din is I'm not allowed to collect, I won't collect. But if the din is I can collect, I want the cash. So give me an argument that he should collect, and give me an argument that he should not collect. We're not sure whether he has the right to the money or not. Give me an argument that he should be able to collect it. Yeah.
On
the one hand, you could say, on the one hand, you could have said, look, Safik Drabanan. If Shmita Bizman says Drabanan, I should say Svei Drabanan. Well, it's not clear whether Shmita Safim applies or not. So we know that you owe the money. Shmita's ksafim is only dindra abana, sabna abana, lahaka. Interesting. Okay, good. What argument could you make? So that would say the malva has the right to collect the money. Shmita's ksafim is only drabana. Safik shmita's ksafim we're going to ignore. And the loan stands, the obligation stands, and the malva wins. That means that the malva does get his money. What's an argument the malva should not get his money, Zev? Right. You all learned Baba Basha last year. And that's the Aleph Beis of the Aleph Beis of Dinim Amidus is if it's not clear whether you owe me money or not, you win. If it's not clear whether you owe me money, you're the Mosuk, I'm the Motzi. I'm Motzi Mecharev Araya. I have to prove that you do owe me the money. I have to bring Raya Limta, Ha Raya. I have to bring very strong proof that you owe me the money. Otherwise, you walk away scot-free. Regardless of whether it's a suffix whether you ever owed me money, or it's a suffix whether you still owe me money. Either way, hamotzi v'chavero, all of harai. Regardless of whether it's a suffix, a factual suffix, we're not sure what happened, or it's a suffix in halacha. Is a shiloh, what's it in this case? And it's a teku. A teku in Dini Maminus, we assume, is also Hamotze Mecharel Varaya. Sveke Safik in Mitzias, a Safik in Din, Hamotze Mechadero, Alav Haraya. Wow. Safik in Shmitzas Safim. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we started this sugya a week or two ago. Because you remember that the Gemara in Makos, of Gimel Beis, remember? The shayla of the loan is only due today. The loan existed at the moment the Shemitah suffered, but it wasn't yet due and collectible. It wasn't due and payable at the moment the Shemitah suffered. I lent you money, pay back in 10 years. Pay back in 10 years, obviously the loan is going to go through at least one Shemitah, maybe even two, before it's even due. So the question is, 10 years comes, do you pay me? Or no, Shemitah suffered. Remember the guy that Shiloh. Two Lashonos and Shmuel, and Makis Davgil and Beis.
Does it have to be, does Shemitah only cancel the debts that are already collectible, due and payable, or even the debts that just exist? Ma'adha chaveri l'asar shanim, shemis m'shamtatu, or ein shemis m'shamtatu. And we had seen, the Rosh had said, nu halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? But take a look. Take a look at the Rosh. It's in your packet. We saw this without recourse to any bad jokes, but we saw it during Shnas Tavshin Pei Beis. It has been a few days. We've been busy with Yom HaDin. Let's refresh. Some of you may have seen the Chazar this Rosh yesterday during Seder. Remember, that was Siv Gimel. Perek Aleph Siv Gimel is Perek Aleph Siman Gimel in the Rosh and Makos. Malvus Chaveri Lesser Shanim. First Lashon was Shviz Misham Tatu. It is Shemitah susceptible. Second Lashon was, no, Shemitah proof. And there was that Rosh had quoted a Machlokas early Bali Atosis, how do we paskin? The Rivar Be'eliyahu said, Pasak Lishna Kama. Rabbi Yonatan said, no, Pasak Lishna Basra. Each one had proofs to his side. Tov. And the Rosh had said, at the bottom of the column, the bottom of Chafei Amad Alf, this is Amad Alf, Rabbeinu Tam had said that Shemitah does not cancel it, that the Malva can collect, based on Gemaras that he thought proved his point. The Rosh doesn't like Rabbeinu Tam's Gemaras. We had dealt with that previous year. He says, each one of those Gemaras isn't really exactly the same as this. Different types of cases. But he says, I agree with his Psak, but not because, like Rabbeinu Tam, I'm convinced that ain't Shvias Mishametas. Two lines from the bottom. Miyunere, right over here. Miyunere. The halacha kelishna basra. We should pass that kelishna basra. This is number one. Forget about all Rabbeinu Tam's rayas. Mimerchak Tavi Lachma from earlier in Gittin, from Bava Basra. It says this Mishnah. Pashna Mesnisin, Messiah Lishna Basra. The simple reading of the Mishnah in Makkos sounds like any standard chov, 10-year chov, is collectible. Okay. Rava had to give in a teretz. But the Pashup shot in the Mishnah is like that. And then he says, in any ways, even if I'm not sure which way to paskin, if I have a suffix, whether Shviz Mishametas, ain't Shviz Mishametas, be owed to Shviz Bezmazed Rabbanon. Azlinan Lakula. Well, Shemitah B'zman says only draw abundance, so we should pass from the Hakal. Boom. In other words, the Rosh says this. Safir Abban Lahakal. The Beis Yosef says, I don't know what on earth the Rosh is talking about. The Beis Yosef is on the facing page in the packet. It's also on the bottom of the page, quoted by the Pepula Harifta. O Samach, either one works. You can see in the original. Is Simon Samach Zayin Chosh Mishpat, the Simon in Tur Shulchan Aruch Abba Shemitah's Ksafim. You see, the Tur says, Malva L'Zman, Afilu Hircham Azman L'Meya Shana. I lend you for an extended period of time. You have a 100-year loan. Eina Mishametes. It doesn't get canceled. And he goes on to quote that. The others said, it does. And my father, the Rosh, the Tur was the son of the Rosh, said it does not. And the Beis Yosef, from the side of Yosef Karo, later, the author of the Shulchan Aruch as well, he had earlier in his life, he had written a running commentary on the two pre-existing major Sifrei Halacha of his time, Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam and Beis Yosef on the Tur. And subsequently, he wrote his own Sefer Halacha of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Yosef Karo in the Beis Yosef says, Harosh Kasav, here, he quotes, it gives you the background as he always does. That's the Beis Yosef's job to give you all the background. He says, oh, there's a Gemara and Maxi Gemara, Parakam, the Makos of Gemara, Alpha gives you the Gemara. There's Kasvu Tosos, the Apam, Pasas like the Lashna Basra, the Rush,
It tells the Rosh said, well, the Riva holds this way, and the Tam holds that way, turning the page. And he says, the Rosh holds the Tam, Meshum Deshvius, the Rabbanon Azlian Lakula, as we saw in the Rosh. Now, the Beis Yosef digs in. Im Tomar, the Sveikat the Memonak, Tinan Kula, Lenispa, the Hachi Avi Ibcha, Kula, Letoveya. Safik Mamon. Safik Mamon is a kula for the Mukhza, meaning Hamotzi Nechadero, Alvaraya. Why is the Rosh saying that Sveik Rabban Lahakal, the Malva wins? That's against the ABCs of the Dinamas. You learn Baba Basra that this is the Aleph Beis. How did the Rosh ignore the rule of Hamotzi Nechadero, Alvaraya? So the Beis Yosef begins to say something that one of the more recent Achronim, the Shaar Mishpat, expands on. It could be that's what the Beis Yosef is driving at also. He says, Shemitah is Isser. It's not Mammon. What does that mean? Shemitah is Isser, it's not Mammon. The Beis Yosef is astounded at the Rosh. How could you say, what happened to Motzei Mechaveh Alvaraya? Motzei Mechaveh Alvaraya, as the Beis Yosef goes on to say, is a principle in Dinei Mamonos. Is this money mine or yours? For whatever reason, based on theft, based on Nezek, based on a loan, based on salary, whatever the issue is, who owns these assets? Who ought to have these assets? So when you have a suffix in Mammon, the rule is Hamotzi Mechaveiro, all of Haraya. Is this a Mammon issue? Well, if Shemitah's Ksafim makes it happen, then yeah. If you're going to say that it's Afkaita Demalka, if Shemitah's Ksafim is a reality, no one has to make it happen. Shemitah's Ksafim happens to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cancels the loans. So then, the suffix is the loan, does the loan still exist, or did it disappear Sunday evening? Do you owe me the money? Do you not owe me the money? If you say a shemitah zafkaita demalka, then a suffix shemitah zafim is a dine mamon shaila, and the proper rule to use in Torah Sasveikas is hamotzi mechaveiro, all of haraya. And so far, every rishon that we've seen, and the Minchas Chinuch, the Achron as well, has indeed said, Afkaita de Malka. The Mordechai B'Shem Rebbeinu Chizkiah, the Mordechai B'Shem Rebbeinu Avigdor, the Ramban. There are more that we haven't even seen. There's a Chuvah Zarajba. There's plenty we showed him say, Afkaita de Malka. As you saw, the Minchas Chinuch, the Achron, backs that up very, very powerfully and assumes it's a Pshita, of course, Afkaita de Malka. But if one were to assume, so far, I haven't seen anyone who says this, other than some anonymous Ashkenazi lender in the 1300s who tried suing Olova in Rebbe Nechizkiah's court. If we could find a Rishon who said that no, Shvis is a Shvis de Gavra, then to invert what the Minchas Chinuch had said, you do owe me the money. I have a mitzvah to cancel it. If you hold Afkaita de Gavra, the loan still exists. I have a chiyuv to be mochelet. But if we're mesupik, then I have a suffik chiyuv to be mochelet. And if it's only a maximum chiyuv drabanan, so suffik chiyuv is a suffik drabanan lahaka. Right? If Afkaita de Malka, that means the loan is gone. Afkaita de Gavra means the loan is here. I'm supposed to get, I have a mitzvah to get rid of it. Zedvar Shemitah, I ought to cancel it. Does anyone say that Shemitah is Afkaita to Gavra? The answer is at least one Rishon, and maybe we just found number two. The famous Rishon, the Shita of Afkaita de Malka is famous as Afkaita de Gavra, rather, is famous as being the Urayim. He spoke for Rebbeinu Tam, the founder of the Baal Yatosos, said his primary French Talmud was his nephew, the Rebbeinu Yitzchak, the Re of Dampierre. His primary German Talmud, I think, is assumed to be Rabbeinu Eliezer, Rabbeinu Eliezer of Mitz, who's sometimes known as Rabbeinu Eliezer, sometimes known as by his Rosh HaTevis, Re'im, Rabbeinu Eliezer of Mitz, and sometimes by the name of Sefer, which sounds a lot like Re'im. The name of the Sefer is the Urim. The Urim was written, or early Ashkenazi Sefer, written by Rabbi Eliezer in Mitz, Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. Take a look at what this is. Urim is not such a, usually such a popular Sefer, but in Shmita Shapin, this is one of the most famous Urims in the book. Is the Urim about Afkaita the God. He is the Afkaita the God of Pavon. He actually wrote it. He wrote a Sefer as a Sefer HaMitzvahs. As you've seen, we've discussed a little bit, different Sefer HaMitzvah organized in different ways. The Rambam organizes it sort of logically. The Sefer HaChinuch famously organizes the Sefer Parasha Shavua. The Urim organizes it by organs of the body. Like all the mitzvahs of the hands, all the mitzvahs of the eyes, all the mitzvahs of the feet. It's a very interesting type of, very visceral organizational scheme, a very visceral taxonomy, if you will. Anyhow, so that's the Sefer Urim. The Sefer Urim, every once in a while, has a unique original shita. Here's one of them. Chov, here we are on the last page of the packet. In the middle, Chov Shavu'ot of Shvi'is. A chiyuv that went through Shemitah, Eino Rashai Lova La'akavo, Ela Alpi Malva. The Lova is not allowed to not pay, except at the behest of the Malva. Kozman Shlo Shemit, interesting. I'm not allowed to not pay. He just said, that was a little double negative there. He said, the Lova is, Shemitah came and went. If I lend Eitan money, the Rambam says, Eitan owes me the money. He can't decide unilaterally, oh, it's Shemitah, I'm good. No, you owe the money. You can, the only way you could not pay is by the Malva's behest, meaning, Kol Zman Shlo Shemitah Malva, Chayv Lefroa, until I said, Mishamani, you owe me the money. That's a pretty strong Afkaita, the Gavra. The Urim is right here. You still owe me the money. Until I say Mishamani. He said, well, but I do have a mitzvah to say Mishamani. Lova yaz, what should you do? Lova yazman malva ledin, shiyash v'lo chovo. I could sue you in court, sue you to cancel my debt. What type of din Torah is that? Kashat Siva, it says the Bezin will make you be Mishamit. Bezin, Kashat Siva Yotzer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Creator, commanded the Malva to be Mishamit. Bezin, Yechav Ula Malva, Lom Mishamit. Bezin will force me to say Mishamit, but interesting the way he says it. In Eno writes, he quotes the Mishnah, Zedra Hashmita, skipping down a line, in Eno wrote, Sala Malva, Lom Mishamit. Yichbu Bezdin. Bezdin will force me, say Misham. And he goes on to say, the same way Bezdin forces me to sit in Sukkah, the same way Bezdin forces me to shake Lulav, a Jew doesn't want to keep a mitzvah. If you live in a society, we do not. If one lives in a society, in a legal regime, in which the Bezdin has autonomous power, so the din is that Bezdin is kofal mitzvahs. Bezdin not only encourages Jews to keep mitzvahs, but if a Jew doesn't want to keep a mitzvah, the Beis Din has the right and the obligation to coerce Jews to keep mitzvahs. I refuse to eat matzah. Actually, the Beis Din knocked my door late last Seder and say, eat the matzah. I say, I don't want to. So they're going to physically pressure me to eat the matzah. They're going to physically pressure me to eat in Sukkah. They're going to physically pressure me to shake a lulav. They're going to physically pressure me to listen to shofar. The famous Tosis has a discussion. Will the Beis Din physically pressure me to make kind of the mitzvah of tzedakah? Or is tzedakah an exception? Not reason is not for now. So, interesting. Urim says, Beis Din will physically pressure me to keep the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ketafim. In other words, it's not a dine mamonis issue. It's not, oh, it's not, you're holding on to, you're trying to seek money that doesn't belong to you. No, you have a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah of lulav, you have a mitzvah of sukkah, the mitzvah of shmitzis kavim. It's a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah to say it. That's the Urim, afkaita degavra. And perhaps there may be a Talmud of a Talmud of a Talmud Urim who agrees with him, afkaita degavra, and that would be the later Ashkenazi Rishon, the Rosh. And maybe that's why the Beis Yosef sounds like he's saying at least something along those lines. The Rush thinks that it's isura, it's a mitzvah. Afkaita de gavre means it's fundamentally a mitzvah. It's part of the area of halach called isur v'heter. If you say if afkaita de malka, it's mamona. It's a question of who owns it. But if you say afkaita de gavre, I know that you own the money. The question is, are you mechuyev to let go of it? Are you mechuyev to change that reality? Not sure if you're mechuyev. Safka bal lahaka. But if Shemitah's Ksafim is a natural, automatic reality, Afkaita de Malka, so then Safek Shemitah's Ksafim, we're not sure if you owe the money or not. That's a question of Mamon. It's the question of Mamona. So of course Safek Mamon is a Kula Le Nitba. It's a Kula Le Muchsaka. Motzim Echaber Al Araya. If you say Zisura, then... In a chanami, we're not sure if you have a mitzvah shmitzes ksafim. Without your fulfilling the mitzvah, the chov still exists. Not sure if you're mechuyev to fulfill that mitzvah. So if it was a darayis, we would say sav darayis a little chumra. But if, as our gemara seems to indicate, it's a drabanan safik drabanan lahakal. And finally, what do we have? And after this, we'll stop for more questions, either here or down the base medrash. Maybe let's pull it all together, and we're ready for the final blow, the final salvo. We saw that many Rishonim, in various ways, raise a fundamental chakira about the nature of Shemitzah's Ksafim. We have Mitzvah Daraisa, Shemitzah's Ksafim, but what is that Mitzvah Daraisa? The Mishnah presents, Zed Dvar Shmita, you ought to say Meshamani. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that you have a mitzvah to confirm and to honor and to act in accordance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cancellation alone, Afkaita de Malka, or no? You have a chiyuv to actually cancel the loan. The guy owes you the money, and you have a mitzvah to give it away. You have a mitzvah to be mochel. Is it Afkaita de Malka, or is it Afkaita de Gavra? And we saw that plays, this chakira plays itself, is explicit in Rishonim, and plays itself out with many, many different afkaminas. Right? A fundamental one was, combining one and two, am I mechuyev? Do I have the absolute chiyev to be mishamet? And if I wasn't mishamet, you still owe me the money? Or no? You don't owe me the money anyhow. If you come to me, then I have a mitzvah to say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get rid of the loan, and I don't want your money. And the question, perhaps also of, if it's afkaita degavra, one can even make the argument that you should actively be mishamet the loan, proactively mishamet the loan during Shemitah. But if it's afkaita de malkas, it's a post facto. After the chov has already disappeared by divine decree, I have to confirm that. If you come to me after Shemitah, I say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already canceled. We spoke about, does Shemitah's ksafim apply to lav bar chiyuva? If the malva is the cher shot tefakata. We spoke about, that was the Minchas Chinuch's question, Oz Beis. We spoke about the Ramban and the Rajba, talk about if, would we force the Malva to give the shtar away? Afkai to the Malka yet, there's nothing left to collect. Let's say, Minchas Chinuch raised the question, let's say the Malva Avar Vagava, he did collect B'Isr. Did he just violate the mitzvos, Asayin Los Asayin, of Shemitah, or is it also Gezel? He did the wrong thing for sure. It was usher to do that. But does he own the money? Or do the funds or assets, goods, whatever it is, still belong to the lova? Now, if Kamina can the lova retrieve it in Bezin? Can the lova's Yorsha? Can the lova retrieve in Bezin for the malva's Yorsha? And can the malva be Mekai in the midst of Esrig? If the malva was Mekadosh, a girl, with this ring, is that, would you say it's not even his, it's Gezel? And finally, all this fed back into the large, is this a matter of mamon or is this a matter of isur, as the Beis Yosef already phrased it, which seems to point to the language we didn't read inside, but the Shar Mishpat here, an Achron on Choshe Mishpat, so he develops explicitly, what I believe Beis Yosef is already driving at, that if you say afkaita de gavra, and therefore this is a matter of isur v'heter, it's not mamon, it's not automatically no longer yours, it's you have a mitzvah to mishamet. So then you can make the argument that the proper, appropriate rule of Safek is Safek Reis L'Chumra and Safek Aban L'Kula. And that would therefore explain the Rosh's approach that Mal V'Chaveri L'Aser Shanim is Ein Shvi'ez Meshamet is based, not based on Rav Yonatan's Raya's or the Rambam's Raya's. No, based on, it's a Safek as a Dina, and Bizman as a Safek Rabban L'Hakka. And therefore, by the way, the Rosh would say, in a time when Shemitah is Daraisa, it's a Safek Daraisa L'Chumra. So we just lined up Chakir and Rishonim with, depending on how you want to count them, but around seven Nafkaminas, and we saw that on the Aftait, the Malka side, we have many, many Rishonim. We have Ashkenazim, we have Sfardim, we have Chizkiyah, we have Vigdor, both quoted by the Mordechai. We have the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rashba's Talmud agrees with him as well. Sefer HaTrumah quotes him. On the Minchas Chinuch, in terms of Achronim, is a very strong proponent of Kaita the Malka. On the Kaita the Gavra side, we famously have the Ireim and perhaps the Rush as well. And now, finally, we had opened this piece of the Sugya with two questions. The second question, at least is on this. The second question was, Tema, what's the Rush talking about? You want to pass like Lishna Kama Shmuel Gzante. You have Rias, Riva has Rias in this direction. Ve'atam has Rias, Lishna Brasi Gzante, the Machlaikas, Amaroam, you're starting to figure out how to pass. Right. Our second question would be what we just spoke about. How does the Rush say that the relevant rule is Sveikad Rabban Lahakal? The relevant rule should be Hamotz Mechaver Alvarai. We just solved that by saying, well, once you have this tool, this Chakira is a tool. It's a new perspective, new way of thinking about it, new category of thought. Oh, it's not so clear. Is Afkaita Gavra, Afkaita Malka drives, is it Isser, is it Mammon? Which is going to drive, should I say Savran Lakal, or should I say Motzah Mechavei Alvaraya? And finally, that was the second question which we had opened the sugi, was what's shot in this rush? The Beis Yosef's kasha on the rush. What was the first kasha which we opened the sugi? Who remembers? What was the first kasha? Intervening. Akasha in the details of the Shaka Vataria Daf Lamed Vav. Yeah.
Why doesn't
Abayin with the government? Why does, yeah, right? We were bothered. Abayin and Rava, why does each one not say like the other? Nochama Abayin had said, the Gemara's second question had been, Nochama, Nochama. Our second question had been, what? How does the Pachai? Shemitah Zman says, not the Raisa? So then how do you have a Shemitah Rabbanan? How can Chazal say that in Torah you owe me the money, but Rabban you don't? What is that? So Abaye had teretz and Rabba had teretz. Abaye had said, how do Chazal tell me Shemitah's Kshav and Rabban? And Abaye said, based on what? Based on Sheval Tasa. Here's Dama Tova Sheval Tasa. Rabba had said, no, based on, very good, Hefker, based on Hefker. And we notice that neither teretz was nischadish by either of these Amoraim. Their common Rebbe, Rabba said both Peirutzim in the mothership sugya, the original sugya of Ekiras Davar, Minatora, Nivamis. Rabba said Hefker Bezen Hefker, and Rabba also said Sheval Tasa. Peitestam and Bezen said Hefker Bezen Hefker is a case where even Rabba agrees Yesh Koach Laker, and on Daf Tzadi, Amad Aleph and Amad Bez, he said another situation, another category where I agree Yesh Koach Laker, Sheval Tasa. So we were bothered. Why is Abai only given his teretz? Why is Rava only given his teretz? So first we had doubt. Why does Rava not like Abaye? What's wrong with Sheval Tasa? So we dealt with previously. Once you open up the sugya of Sheval Tasa, you realize it's not so pasha. This is a case of Sheval Tasa. Big machos to Rishonim. So maybe part of what's driving, at least according to some Rishonim, Rava thinks that this is not Sheval Tasa. Maybe Rav and Abai are arguing over, at least according to some Rishon would say, they're arguing over the proper definition of Sheval Tasa. Is Shemitah's Ktaf and Drabanan Sheval Tasa or Kumbasei? That we dealt with. And now we'd open this piece of the sugya with the opposite question. And why does Abai not say like Rava? Why is Abai? What's wrong with Rava's answer? Rava's Gishmak. Gishmak. Why doesn't Abai say like Rava? What could possibly be wrong with saying Hefker, that's a Hefker, Geshmak. Yeah, what do you say? Exactly.
Hefker present Hefker makes perfect sense if, l'chora, one could certainly make the argument that Hefker present Hefker makes perfect sense if it's a Dina Mamna session. But Hefker present Hefker, would you apply Hefker Hefker to say that you have a mitzvah lahashmit? That's a lot trickier. So it could be that Abaye says, if Abaye holds Afkaita, Abaye didn't want to say Hefker Bez and Hefker, perhaps because he held Afkaita de, fill in the blank, he held Afkaita de Gavra. If Abaye held Afkaita de Gavra, so he would say, Hefker Bez and Hefker is a little bit sticky. Like Hamotze Mecharver of Haraya, Hefker Bez and Hefker offhand is a principle of Dine Mamanus. As a matter of fact, one of the ways of phrasing, when you rephrase and summarize the sugya in Yevamos, one way of saying it is there are three or four categories of cases in which yesh koach lakar. One of them is din yevamos, because hefker bez nefker. And din yevamos yesh koach lakar. If it's isav hetros, then it needs to be shaval tasa. But din yevamos is always yesh koach lakar because of hefker bez nefker. So if I buy it, so Rav is gevaldik. If you say Afkaita de Malka, if you say Afkaita Malka, this is Mamash Afkaita de Gavra. This is absolutely the Mona. But if Abaya holds Afkaita de Gavra, so then that might be why he hesitated to say Hamotza Mecharvei of Haraya. Now, once again, we'll close as we did with the last sugya. It sounds a little tricky to say that what's already a Machlokas you showed him is also Machlokas Amram. How does that work? So what does the other side say? Saying Abai holds Afkaita de Gavra. That's Gevaldik for the Araim. What's everyone else going to say? We don't pass them like Abai. Exactly. So as a matter of fact, if anything, it's more comfortable for the Rov Rishonim. The Rov Rishonim will say Afkaita de Malka. Will say, yeah, Afkaita de Malka. Like Rava said, Hefker Bez and Hefker. Okay, maybe Abai disagreed. I'm totally comfortable, Rishon will tell you, with my shita being a machlokas Abaye and Rava, and Rava holds like me. That's fine. So machlokas Abaye Rava, of course, I pass like Rava holds like me. I hold like Rava. Okay. If you're going to argue that the machlokas, we already argued earlier, the previous sugya, that one layer of the machlokas Abaye and Rava, right? They have a double machlokas. Do you hold like Abaye and do you hold like Rava? Because each one had a chiddush. So one layer of the machlokas, the double machlokas. One machlokas was, am I comfortable calling this Sheval Tasa? That may have to do with how you define Sheval Tasa. Another layer of the other machlokas is, am I comfortable applying Hefker Bez and Hefker? Those are parallel, independent issues. Do you hold a Abaye's Teretz? Do you hold a Rava's Teretz? Presumably, can't prove it, but presumably, Abaye is more comfortable with his Teretz, less comfortable with Rava's Teretz, while Rava is more comfortable with Rava's Teretz, and less comfortable with Abaye's Teretz. So the second independent machlokas here is, are you comfortable with Rava's Teretz? Why would you be uncomfortable with Rava's Teretz? Well, Rava's Teretz is gevaldik if this is an issue of mamon. If it's an issue of Isur, not so comfortable. Meaning, if it's a question of, does he owe the Mayus at informational? Does he owe the money or not? So that's exactly Hefker Bez and Hefker. You no longer owe the money. Chazal or Mafker, Gishmak. But if you say that they didn't actually change who owns what, it's just that they imposed the Midrabanan on Afkaita de Gavra, meaning they made a new mitzvah for you. You have now Midrabanan, you have a Chiyuv Timochel B'chov. So the Rava, Abaye, I'm suggesting, would say that doesn't sound so Hefker Bez and Hefkerable. That's not really Hefker Bez and Hefker, that's creating a new Chiyuv for you to be Mochel. So Abaye, I'm suggesting, held Afkaita de Gavra, and therefore said, I'm not so comfortable saying Hefker Bez and Hefker, I'm not sure that fits. Sheva Atasa is a good fit. That's my Teretz. That's my preferred Teretz. And Rava. So the Rov Rishon, now let's wrap it up. The Rov Rishonim would say, Rava and Abaye argue over this. This is not only a machlekes, you know, the Ramban would say, it's not just the Urain versus me, it's Abaye versus Rava. And the Ramban would say, and I'm proud to be on Rava's side. I'm comfortable with that. The Rov Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rabbanim, and the Chizkin, and the Avigdor, who say it's Afkai to the Malka, Gishrak. It's Machlokes Abaye and Rava, we pass like Rava. Because it's not Yalka Gam.
the Iranian and perhaps the Rush, who say Afkai to the Gavra, they're in a little bit a sticky position. Interesting question. Why are you saying Hefker Bez and Hefker? So they would have to say, Abai and Rava both agree Safkai to the Gavra, but Rava, so Abai said, I'd rather not say Hefker Bez and Hefker. And Rava said, why not? Why not? Okay. It's Afkaita the Gavra, but still, you have a Chiv to Mishamet the Kesef. So Chazal imposed that Chiv on you. It's a little bit sticky. It is a little bit sticky for the Uraim and perhaps the Rush to figure out. They're going to have to say that even Rava holds of Afkaita the Gavra. That even Rava holds it's a Chiv to be Mishamet, and yet somehow that fits under the rubric of. Of Hefker Bez and Hefker. Maybe if we were to explore Hefker Bez and Hefker more, we get a little more insight. But certainly for the Rov Rishon, the overwhelming Rov Rishon, and that's the Pesach and Shulchan Aruch, as we discussed, that comes to Shulchan Aruch several times, including Sif Lamed Zayin quotes the Ramban, that Machzir and Shar Chov, the Shulchan Aruch is clear several times, that Afkaita Demalka, that's how he paskin. So that is certainly consistent with Rava. We understand why Abaye said what he said, but it's irrelevant to halacha. Abaye perhaps held Afkaita to Gavra. Well, he held Afkaita to Gavra. That's why he didn't say Afkaz Nefker. But Machlekes Abaye and Rava, he passed him like Rava. So if Abaye held Afkaita to Gavra, but Rava held Afkaita to Malka, so we understand why, for the Rov Rishonim, why we passed Afkaita to Malka. Afkaita to Gavra explains a quirk in the Shakel Vatari, explains what Abaye was thinking. But it's irrelevant to halacha, because if that was the bone of contention, or one of the bones of contention, that was one of the core machloksin here in our sugi between Abaye and Rava, if it was a double machlokas of the nature of Sheva Altasa and the nature of Shemitah Ksafim, so then everything works out incredibly smoothly. So that, and as we saw when we started, so you have a kasha in the sugya, kasha in the shakavataria, and we're at the intersection of Shemitah's Ksafim and Akira's Davim and HaTorah. So as predicted, you imagine that if there's a problem in the sugya at the intersection of two major concepts, the answer will probably lie in either one or the other. Either digging deeper into Sheval Tasa or digging deeper into Shemitah's Ksafim will give us insight to what's going on. And Baruch Hashem, we discovered, in fact, those are both the case. One major kasha in the Shakavitarya unraveled and resolved itself once we dug deeper into the sugya of Sheval Tasa, and the other kasha in the sugya resolved itself largely once we dug deeper into the world, once we learned something more substantial about Shemitah's Ksafim, and then we come back to the sugya, and now with more knowledge, all of a sudden with more hekif and more perspective and more insight, you see Abaye and Rava with different, more sophisticated lenses, and now you see, yeah! Amaman, Isser. Now that you have these categories of thought, all of a sudden everything falls into place.